Luke chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 31. Verse 31. Luke 4, verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't that something? An unclean spirit, a devil, knows who Jesus is, and some people don't. Verse 35. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her." That's Peter's wife's mother. That means Peter was married. You know the ones that the Catholics say was the first pope? According to the Bible, he was married. Verse 39, "And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed, went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent.' And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." Now, hold your place with me there, please, in Luke chapter 4, and look with me quickly in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you're familiar at all with the Bible, and especially the New Testament, and this church at Corinth, you understand that this church at Corinth had some big-time problems. And the main problem was is they were carnal. They were fleshy. They weren't spiritual. You know what they had? They had knowledge about the Word of God. But you know what they didn't have? They didn't have the power of God. And hey, there's a lot of Christians today, they have knowledge about the Bible, but they don't really know the God of the Bible, and they don't have the power of God in their life. Amen. And you can tell, because when they get up to sing hymns, they go like this. "It will be worth it all." When they don't have any joy. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't really know God. They're just going through the motions of being a Christian. But if you followed them around every day throughout the week, you'd find that very little of their time in their life is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. It's centered around themselves. That's what their lives are set around. And because of that, they don't have any power. And they got to fake their way through because they don't really have power with God. That's what's going on with this 1 Corinthians church. That's what Paul is telling them. Hey, you need more than just knowledge about God. You need to know God. You need to have the power of God in your church. You need to have the power of God in your life. You need to have the power of God in your family. Look with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice he reminds them of this thing over and over again in 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is." What is it? It's the power of God. Amen. Look at verse 24. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Hey, we need Christ, not just Christ, we need Christ, the power of God. Amen. Look in chapter 2 and verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? in the power of God. Look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, what was the Corinthians' problem? Their faith was based in the wisdom of men, in the knowledge of things, but not in God Himself. They didn't have the power of God. That's why they were carnal. That's why sin had control of their lives. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word. Then what's it in? In power. And so the question is, do you have the power of God? Jesus Christ was the power of God. And it's evident in this passage in Luke chapter 4. Look there with me in Luke chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says. I can remember my two oldest boys when they were a lot younger. And, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 age range in there. And we'd be driving in the car. And the one or the other one would say, hey, Dad, Jesus has all the power, doesn't He? He has all the power. I said, yeah, He's got all the power. And the other one would say, yeah, Jesus, He has all the power. I said, yeah, He has all the power. And they'd go back and forth, yeah, but Dad, Jesus, He really has all the power. Oh, yeah, He has all the power. He does, yeah. But Dad, Jesus, okay, He has all the power. Now, shut up. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, hey, you think about that. Where's all the power? Jesus. Jesus has all the power. Look at verse 32, verse 32. And they were astonished at His doctrine. Why? For His word was with what? Power. That shocked them. That shocked them. They ain't never heard anything like that. All they'd heard is the scribes and the Pharisees. And they didn't have any power in what they were saying. Look at verse 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Listen, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, brethren, is not the Jesus Christ of Hollywood. And a lot of Christians today are all messed up because in their heart and in their mind, they've got a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's a Jesus Christ of Hollywood. Some blonde or red-haired hippie with blue eyes and a voice like a choir girl. Hey, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. He wasn't a lace-wearing, limp-wristed sissy that was seeking to share His love with anybody. You know what He came to do? Look at verse 43. He said, I must preach. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. Verse 44. And He preached in the synagogues. Hey, you know who Jesus was? He was a preacher. That's who He was. And He was a powerful preacher. He was a real man. Jesus Christ was a real man. After Pilate had Him scourged and had the flesh ripped off His back where you could see His organs and His bones, and the soldiers mocked Him and put that crown of thorns and jammed it on His head and took a rod and beat it on His head, and then they covered His head with a bag and punched Him and kicked Him and hit Him with that rod. The Bible says His visage was more marred than any man. You couldn't even recognize Jesus when they got done with Him. And they put that robe on Him and then tore it back off once it started to scab over a little bit. And He stands before Pilate. And Pilate brings Him out before the people and he says, behold the man. Hey, He was a real man. He wasn't no sissy. He wasn't this effeminized Jesus that Hollywood puts out. He was a carpenter. He hung out with commercial fishermen. And when He's there in the garden with Peter and James and John and Andrew and all the rest of them, the Pharisees had to hire Judas just so they could pick Him out amongst them. He wasn't walking around in flowing robes and His hair, you know, He looked just like the rest of them Jews. Amen. He was a bearded, pork-abstaining Jew. That's what He was. There was no beauty that we should desire Him. See? It wasn't about that. You know what He was? He was just a man. That's what He was. Verse 43, look at verse 43. And He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He came to preach the word of God. That's what He came to do. He was a preacher. He was a straight-shooting, peeling the bark off the tree preacher. That's what He was. Verse 44, and He preached in the synagogue of Galilee. The primary thing He came to do was preach the Word of God. Look at verse 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? They couldn't believe the way this fellow was talking. He wasn't coming out there saying, blessed are the pure in heart. for they shall see God. That wasn't him. That wasn't Jesus' idea of Christianity. You get that off the television. You don't get that out of the Bible. Amen. Amen. And the primary purpose and his primary ministry was to preach the Word of God. And hey, when he preached with power. He preached with power. Jesus Christ didn't have Bible conferences. Jesus Christ didn't have seminars and talks. Jesus Christ had Holy Ghost revival meeting. That's what he had. Hey, when Jesus Christ showed up, the devils got kicked out of folk. Amen. When Jesus Christ showed up, people got mad. When Jesus Christ showed up, he preached with authority and power, and the enemy would shake in his boots. And he knew who the real enemy was. Look at verse 33. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Hey, can you recognize a devil when it speaks? He's saying that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Sounds like a Christian to me. Whoa, how about that? Can't hardly tell the difference, could you? You know how you tell the difference? When you start preaching the Word of God. And that Word of God comes out with power. And then you watch the ones that start getting mad. Come on. It ain't you getting mad. I know that. You don't. It ain't you getting mad. It's the devil in you getting mad. Amen. You're just too blind to see it. You're too proud. You can't realize, why am I mad in the first place? It's just words. Why is it getting me angry like this? Because it's the devil in you getting mad. Amen. It's the devil in you saying, well, I don't think he should preach like that. And he's kind of upsetting me. I don't care. God doesn't care. You need the Word of God to get you right with God. You need the power of God in your life. Amen. And you're not going to find it with this kissy junk that's going around in Christian circles today. You're not going to find the power of God there. You're going to find it real preaching. You're going to find it on your knees. And the problem is, most Christians today, they ain't looking for the power of God. Come on now, they don't want the power. You know what they want? They want the knowledge. All right, preacher, teach you some Bible. Well, amen, what's that knowledge doing you? It ain't doing you nothing if you don't have the power of God. Amen. Ain't doing you any good at all without the power of God. What you need is the power of God. Listen, Jesus Christ wasn't out there. He wasn't interested in sharing anything. He was preaching. These preachers would get up and say, I'd just like to share with you today, and I'd like to share, and I'd like to share. Jesus never got up and shared anything. He preached. Amen. He said, thus saith the Lord, and got him right. That's what needs to be done. You know what the problem is? He knew who the enemy was, and when he preached, people got mad. People got offended. Look back there in chapter 4. What are they doing? Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Kill him! That's what they thought. Why? Because Jesus got up there and sold them Girl Scout cookies? No. Because Jesus got up there and preached the Word of God to them. And they didn't appreciate it a bit. They didn't like that. They didn't like it at all. Now I want you to do me a favor. Hold your place here. Hold your place here and look with me in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Brethren, you're living in the days of political correctness. And political correctness is a tool derived by Satan to rip you off of your soul and take you to hell. That's what it is. You've been brainwashed by political correctness. That if someone just don't talk all sweet and nice and kind and due to you, well, I don't have to listen to that. That wasn't politically correct. And then you can go off on your high horse and your pride and end up in a devil's hell. Smart, aren't you? You've been deceived by Satan. You better watch this political correctness. You know what the purpose of political correctness is? I'll tell you what it is. It's to put tape around the preacher's mouth. So that he has to watch every little thing he says so that he don't offend anybody. You know what you just did? You just robbed your opportunity for the power of God. That's what happens. You start saying, oh, preacher, don't say that, and don't talk about hell, and don't talk about this person's religion, and don't say that. You know what you're doing? You just lost the power. As soon as you do that, you've lost the power. And that's what this political correctness is all about. It's from Satan. It's out of the pit of hell. Look with me in Matthew chapter 16. When they wanted to, what they thought about Jesus and who Jesus was, this is what the people of his day, this is who Jesus reminded them of. Now watch it with me. Look here, we're going to give you a little Bible. Matthew chapter 16. Look with me in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias," that's Elijah, "or others Jeremias," Jeremiah, "or one of the prophets." How could they get Jesus with John the Baptist? Why would they confuse Jesus with him? How about that? Look back there in Matthew. Let's look at these fellows. Let's look at John the Baptist. Let's look at Elijah. Let's look at Jeremiah. See what they were all about. Matthew chapter 3. How could they confuse Jesus with these fellows? You know why? Because they knew who Jesus really was. You don't. Because the Jesus you got ain't the God of the Bible. The Jesus you got is a Hollywood Jesus. He's a Christian television Jesus that's been pumped into your mind and your heart where you can't even think straight anymore when it comes to the things of God. And because I say that, you get mad. See that? Ditto my previous comment. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, look in verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism," this is John the Baptist, "he said unto them, O generation of vipers." You know what he just did? He called their parents snakes. He's calling them names. So what is he? He's filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what he did? He's preaching like Jesus did. Oh, Jesus would never say that, would he? You want to bet? He said that and worse. You see, your idea of Jesus ain't the Bible Jesus. You've been perverted. Somebody's corrupted your mind. You know what he tells them? "You generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." That's probably you. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost," some of them, "and with," who the rest get? "Fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into his garner, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Who would preach like that? Who would say such things? John the Baptist did. But you know who they mistook Jesus for? John the Baptist. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You see, whose idea of Jesus do you have? The Bible's idea of Jesus? Or Hollywood's idea of who Jesus was? They confused him for John the Baptist. Hey, they confused him for Elijah. Look what the Bible has to say about Elijah. Look back there in the Old Testament, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. We all right this morning? You staying with me? 1 Kings chapter 18. Just giving you some Bible. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm trying to get you to understand and see that the Jesus of the Bible might be different than the Jesus you think of in your mind. Because you've been corrupted from this world. And their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. And the Bible warns about those that would preach and present to you another Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. And a preacher's job is to warn you of that. Look here in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 25. Verse 25. "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon," watch it, "that Elijah mocked them." What? What's that preacher doing? He's making fun of their religion. How could they confuse him with Jesus Christ? They did. What's he doing? He's mocking their gods. He's mocking their religion. He's making fun of them. What is he? He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. That's the spirit of the prophets. That's the Holy Ghost. Cry aloud, for He is a God. Either He is talking, or He is pursuing, or He is on a journey, or peradventure He sleepeth and must be awake. He's making fun of their God. How dare He? And they cried aloud and cut themselves in their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Hey, you know what Elijah does? All right, fellas, let me show you how it's really done. And he gets this thing right and he has them pour all the water about that thing. Verse 34, he said, do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. And you know what happened? Hey, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed it. That's what we need, brethren. We need some preachers that when they preach, the fire of God falls. Amen. The power of God evident. Hey, who'd they confuse Jesus for? Elijah? Can you imagine? Look in Jeremiah. Here's the other one they confused Him for. Jeremiah. What does the Bible have to say about him? Was he a nice, sweet talker? Was he an educated fellow that tried to convince people through the power of persuasion and a good business model? Look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 8. This is what God tells Jeremiah. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. Listen, you want to come in here with an impudent face at me? You help yourself. But guess who God's with? He's with me. Amen. And I come in here and I preach the Word of God. You better humble yourself to the Word of God. You've got to answer to Him, not me. Amen. Amen. You come in here with that, why are you even coming? To quench the Holy Spirit of God, you'll pay for that. You'll pay for that for all of eternity. Are you coming in here to get something from God? Is that why you came this morning? Did you come to hear from God this morning? What did you come to church for? Did you come to hear from God? I pray you will. I pray the fire will fall. I pray He'll do so, a work in your heart. I can't do that. That's going to take the power of God. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Praise the Lord. A call of a preacher. What does he get to do? Over the nations, over the kingdoms? To do what? Verse 10. To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, you know what Christians want? They want a preacher that's going to help them build and plant. Let's just build and plant. Let's just build and plant. No. Before there's any building and planting, there's got to be some tearing down. Amen. There's got to be some rooting out. There's got to be some demolition going on. You got to bring the dozers in. You got to clear the land. You got to burn it all up. You got to chunk up that soil, or you ain't going to get nothing done anyway. You know what you're building? A house of cards. That's all you're going to build, and it'll fall. You know what you're doing? You're doing like they did back there when they didn't have the cement. They used slime for mortar. You know what you're doing? You're just building a house out of slime. It ain't going to last. Doesn't have a solid foundation. God told Jeremiah, that's what you're going to have to do. Look over in chapter 2. Notice Jeremiah's preaching, verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither say they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children, will I plead, for pass over the isles of Chittim and see. Send unto Kedar and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what the problem with a lot of Christians is today? They've got a Christian life and it can't hold water. Amen. But there's no preachers willing to get up and tell them, hey, you're faking it, you're not real, you need to have a real walk with God and quit your fakiness. Ain't no preacher going to get up and do it. Might hurt their income, might hurt their billfold. And you get in trouble when that happens. Now how could they confuse Jesus Christ for Jeremiah? How could they confuse Jesus Christ with Elijah? How could they confuse Jesus Christ with John the Baptist? Or the other prophets, like maybe Jonah? 40 days, Nineveh be destroyed, see ya. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Man's job is to preach. Why did they confuse him with prophets? You know what Jesus' job was? What did he say his purpose was? It was to preach. Hey, yeah, he healed. Yes, he ministered. But Jesus Christ's primary mission when he was on this earth was to preach the Word of God. That's what got the job done. That's what will always get the job done. Amen. But the problem is most Christians today, brethren, listen, they are more familiar with the television Jesus than they are the Jesus of the Bible. They don't even know him. You find Christians today, they've been saved for 5 years, haven't read through the whole Bible one time. But they can tell you the sports teams and who's winning. They can tell you what's on TV tonight. They got it memorized. All 153 channels. Amen. But they don't know God. They don't have a walk with Him. They've got a fake walk with Him. Hey, when Jesus does the work, things will get done. And not unless Jesus does the work. Because He's the one with the power, brethren. Like my boys used to say, He's got all the power. He's got all the power. He does. He does. You know what Jesus was? You know what kind of preacher He was? Hey, Jesus preached on the street. In the open. You don't find many preachers today that will. We had a good time down there yesterday, praise the Lord. But you got preachers all over America today that'll stand behind a pulpit and preach, but they won't get out on the street corner and do it. I would never have a preacher like that as my preacher. Amen. You're too afraid to stand out there in public and stand for Jesus Christ? Don't come behind a pulpit and do it, you wimp. That's not the kind of preachers America needs. America needs preachers that are bold and will go out there into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Yes, sir. We don't need no more wimps. We don't need no more effeminate junk in our pulpits. We got enough of that. Jesus preached in the synagogues. He preached in the temple. He preached in the houses. His word was with power. Kind of reminds you of Pat Robertson, doesn't it? I mean, it kind of reminds you of Rick Warren, doesn't it? I don't think so. His word was with power. Hey, God, give us some preachers that'll preach with power. Amen. God, give us some preachers where when they preach, sinners shake in their boots. And God's people repent and get right and shed tears over their sins. When's the last time you've done that, Christian? When's the last time you cried over your sins before God? When's the last time? You want power with God? Look with me in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. After they crucified Jesus, He goes up to heaven. He gives the Holy Ghost, His apostles. You know what happens? They get plugged in, buddy. They get the power. Notice what they say about these fellas when they catch up to Him here. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness, Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why? Hey, some of Jesus rubbed off on these fellas. How about that? Some of Jesus rubbed off on these fellas. They might not know a whole lot, but boy, they sure are bold. They sure got power when they get up to talk. That's how they knew that they were with Jesus. That's the only way they could tell. It was their boldness. It was their power. That's what gave them away. Is that what gives you away? That's what gave them away. Now look with me back there in Luke chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says. His word was with power. Look at verse 36. And they were all amazed, and they spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Authority. Authority. Jesus Christ, when he spoke with authority. Oh, I don't want my preacher speaking with authority. Who does he think he is anyway? He has no right to, You see what they're doing once again? First they want to tie your mouth, then they want to tie your hands. That's what's going on in America today. And then America's saying, well, why are things so bad? Maybe we need to elect this person. Maybe we should elect... That's not the problem with America! The problem with America is America has lost the power of God! And it's lost the power of God because it's binded its preachers. And its preachers have given in. And they're settling to be number-oriented instead of power of God-oriented. And God help the church when that happens. Because now all you need is a good business model and you can get the numbers. And you can look successful. But you're doing it without the power of God. And it'll come to nothing. His word was with authority. Jesus never got up one time and said, now I believe a better rendering would be. Not one time did he try to correct the Bible like these modern preachers today. He never had to do that. Hey, is there any question in your mind what Bible Jesus would preach from if he got up today? You think the Lord Jesus Christ would come up to a pulpit with his collar on backwards in an NIV? You have no idea what you're talking about. Jesus Christ, if he got up behind a pulpit, he'd get behind a pulpit dressed like you or me, and he would preach this King James Bible, the power of God. Why? It's been authorized. It's got authority. It's authorized by a king. Who's yours authorized by? Some Bible wimp scholars that never won a soul to their life to Christ? Lord help. And we wonder why the power's gone out. And we wonder why preachers don't have any authority anymore when they preach the Word of God. Oh, the preacher offended me. Well, good. That puts you in perfect company with the devil. He was offended too. I've never heard one person come to you and say, now, Brother Ray, I believe you offended the Lord with what you've said. Never once! You know what it is? You offended me. Well, that puts you in good company, doesn't it? Amen. Isn't that weird? They never say you offended God. Brethren, I am not here to impress you. I'm not here to put on a show for you and entertain you. I'm here to try to help you to get right with God and get close to God and get you plugged into the power of God. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. We need that power. We need the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, if you get mad at me, you're just admitting whose side you're on. Amen. Look in Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29, watch closely. Concerning the last days specifically, Isaiah 29. Here's your political correctness. Isaiah 29. Look at verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Hey, that's what happened when Jesus started preaching, brethren. Verse 19, the meek also it shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. That's Jesus. That's who the demons are saying He is. The Holy One of Israel. There He is. Verse 20, for the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. And all that watch for iniquity are cut off. What do you mean watch for iniquity? They're looking for it. They want it. They desire it. Verse 21, watch it. That make a man an offender for doing what? For a word. Huh? That's you. He's talking about you right there. You're one of those terrible ones. You're one of those scorners if that's you. Amen. You know what you've said now? All right, if a preacher says that word, uh-uh. If a preacher says that, uh-uh. No, I can't do that. I'm offended. For what? Saying a word? They couldn't have imagined such a thing back there. That people would be so thin-skinned and so sensitive and so effeminate that they'd get offended over a word that a preacher said. But here we are today, brethren, in the last days. Oh, don't say that, you might offend them. Don't say that, you might offend them. And then those same people will go through their week and cuss and use the Lord's name in vain. Come on! But they get upset. Oh, well, the preacher, he called somebody an idiot. Or he called somebody stupid. Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. I never name names when I do that stuff. I never say so-and-so is stupid. I never did that. I said, if you do this and this and this, well, you're an idiot. How could he say that? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what the word idiot means? He offended me. He said idiot. What does it mean? I don't know. You know what it means? It means fool. You know what Paul called people? Fools. You know what Jesus called people? Fools. Don't be one, and you won't have to get called one. Amen. And I never said you were. So why did you get upset? Oh my. Oh me. He offended me. Come on, man. Get over yourself. Grow up. Stop it. Good night. What is this junk? Lord help us. God give us some men that are men. On the inside. On the inside. Grow up. Get over yourself. You're not that important. Now, if you can get there, God might be able to help you out in your life. Now, I love you, but Lord, help, man. You would have been offended the first time Jesus showed up. You would have been with them, kicking them off the brow. Go fool someone else. I know your crowd. Hey, brethren, we need the power of God. We need to quit fooling around. We need to get serious about this thing. What'd they do? That make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate for the preacher. We can catch him. Let's get him. You demon. You're filled with the devil and you don't even realize it. You ungodly, wicked devil, you. Get out. Get out of here. Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it, man. Listen, this whole NIV using TV, worshiping high-minded, self-conceited generation that can't submit to the authority of the preaching of the Word of God. Now, he was preaching about me. Well, who do you want me to preach to? The people that aren't here? If you're here, I'm going to preach about you. Well, he must have bugged my apartment. I don't know how he knew. I don't. The Lord does. And he's the one getting in your kitchen and smacking you around, telling you to straighten up. But you keep thinking it's me instead of Christ, the power of God. And that's why God can't do nothing with you. And he's tried to chasten you with the Word of God and chasten you with the Word of God. And you refuse to be chastened. So then he has to start using other means. And the fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. You better wake up. Oh yeah, you can take me. You can't take God. You think you're tough? Try him on for size. Let me know how that works out for you. Look at chapter 4 again, Luke chapter 4. Hey, don't you want the power of God, Christian? Don't you want the power of Jesus Christ? Or you just want to go through the motions? You just want to fake it your whole life? Luke chapter 4, look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust them out of the city. Yeah, baby. Listen, didn't Jesus realize if he said that they might get offended? And he said it anyway? Who does he think he is? The power of God. You know, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. You talk about a hellfire damnation preacher, he outdid John the Baptist. Oh, I like that preacher. He's nice. I like that preacher. He's funny. I like that preacher. He's distinguished. Yeah, but does he have the power of God? Because if he doesn't, he ain't worth a hill of beans. Look at verse 37. And the fame of him went out in every place of the country round about. Oh, they all started hearing about Jesus, man. Now, it didn't say if it was good fame or bad. Notice that. It just said everybody knew about him. Everybody heard about him. They all knew. Word got out. Amen. It might not have all been good press, but it was press nonetheless. Say, what was it? Look, verse 37. The fame of him went out in every place of the country round about. Yeah, but you know what? Everywhere Jesus went and preached, there was results. There was results. Hey, when Jesus came into a town and preached, the devil got kicked out. When Jesus came out in down to a town and preached somewhere, sin was kicked out and put out. When Jesus came into a town and started preaching, he broke down the high walls of pride. When Jesus Christ showed up, he cast down the strongholds of tradition. He was a radical. He was caustic. He was misunderstood, but when he left town, it was different than when he arrived. Hearts and bodies were healed. Lives were changed. The deaf heard. The blind saw. The captives were set free. Brethren, all around Baldwin County today, hundreds upon hundreds of Baptist churches where there ain't been one tear shed at an old-fashioned altar in that church in 20 to 30 years. And we wonder what's wrong with America. What's wrong with America is America has lost the power of God. Have you? Do you have the power of God? When's the last time you won a soul to Christ? When's the last time you prayed in earnest where you were sweating and cried out on God and saw God move and bring revival? We hear the stories. We read about the preachers before what they did. See, they didn't have the television. People knew who Jesus really was. They understood what the real power of God was. And they'd have old widow ladies in there. And they'd have the old-timers in there praying, "Oh, God!" And getting a hold of God and bringing down heaven and shaking the pillars of the church and sinners coming in. And even before the preacher get halfway through the message, coming down an old-fashioned altar, "Oh, God, I'm sorry!" and getting saved. And the power of God moving. Has the power of God changed? Is God different than he was then? What's happened? The other day I was met on the computer and all of a sudden the thing just went off. I said, "Oh no. Stupid thing's broke, man. It ain't even a year old. And it's broken already. Couldn't get it to work. Couldn't do nothing." You know what I realized? It was just unplugged. Little plug thing wasn't all in. It wasn't plugged in. Everything was still there to get the job done, except for the power. If you're going to get anything done for God, you're going to have the power. The question is, are you plugged in? When's the last time you came and begged God for his power? When's the last time you cried at an old-fashioned altar for some lost sinner or for yourself and your own sins in repentance to God? When's the last time you said, God, I just want you. I just want your power in my life. It's available. That same power, it's available to us today. Question is do you want it? You know what I think happens to a lot of Christians? They see an opportunity and then they realize what it's going to cost them. And they don't want to pay the price. How about you? Let's stand for prayer. You know what's happened, brethren? The churches have gotten results-oriented. And the results is based on numbers. And because of that, we've missed out on the power. Because preachers don't want to offend people now because they want the numbers. See how it works? Lord, help us. We need the power of God. Jesus, after a 3.5-year ministry, had 12 followers and a few women. Yeah, that wasn't a success, was it? But those fellows had the power of God. I'd rather have a church of 40 people that have the power of God than a church of 300 that are just fakers. Come on now. How about you? You have the power of God? You must, because you're not down at this altar. You must already have it. When's the last time you've come? When's the last time you've come to an old-fashioned altar? You're just going through the motions. Why don't you get plugged in? Don't you realize what's missing? It's the power of God that's missing. Do you want it? Hey, sinner, you're here, you're not saved. You've been faking it. You've been faking that you're a Christian, and you know you're not. Why don't you get right now? Why don't you come on down here right now and ask Jesus to save you? He will. He'll give you eternal life. He'll forgive you of all your sins. The Holy Ghost speaking in your heart right now. That's the power of God talking to you. Come to me. Come to me. You don't have to fake it anymore. Just come and get it over with. Just like diving in a pool. Just come to an old-fashioned altar. Let God deal with your heart. I love reading about those stories of Jesus. I love reading about the power that he had. He shook a nation. He shook the world. And brethren, if we're going to do that, we're going to have the power of God. Do you really want it? What are you willing to do to have it? What are you willing to give up to have it? What are you willing to surrender to have it? How much of your pride are you willing to swallow to get it? We don't need any more of this philosophical, fuzzy, self-worshipping, lukewarm Christianity today. Enough of it already. God told the church of today, brethren, you make me sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth, lukewarm Christians. Aren't you tired of being a lukewarm Christian? Why don't you get on fire? Why don't you get plugged in? Get serious about this thing. Get on fire for God. Amen? Your choice. Your choice. Father, I pray you bless the message. God, if there's anything right now hindering you from doing what you need to do in our midst, for the power to fall, whatever it is, Lord, take care of it. Get it out of the way. Cover this place in the blood of Jesus. God, get a hold of the hearts of sinners. God, get a hold of the hearts of your people. Open their eyes, Lord. Help them to see plainly and truly. God, help not to deceive themselves into thinking they're deceiving you any longer. God, may we quit just trying to play the game. Help us as your people, Lord, to get on fire, to live for you. Lord, this show is just about over. We don't know how much more time we have. God, help us to do something real for you in this age. God, we need your power to do it. God, I pray that we as a church, as individuals, as families and homes, would have the power of God in our lives, in our ministries, through our testimony. God, use us and help us. Altar still open. If God spoke in your heart, you want something more than you got, ask God for it. He'll give it to you. Ask Him. That laptop I got, it's got all kinds of good software and everything on it. Good hardware. But when that thing wasn't plugged in, you know what it was good for? Nothing. Let's not be good for nothing, Christians. Amen? The only thing that's going to make us something for God is the power of God in our lives. Lord God, give it to us. Brother Nate, would you close us in prayer?